Good morning. Thank you very much for coming. And may our learning this morning be a merit. Lili Nishmas. Mi'ira Chaya Nechama Bracha Leah Shalom. Bas David Mordechai. We are in the midst of the discussion about how to understand the nature of inheritance. That's what we're going to get into. Is it that an inheritance, it's Breira? Inheritance means that when you have, let's say, three brothers dividing up the property of a father, so that's revealing retroactively what was really theirs, what was the portion of each one. Or is that an inheritance, initially it belonged to all of them, and then there is a swapping. My share in your property is becoming yours, in return for your share in my property becoming mine, and it's really a deal. So, we are here on Nun Vav Amud Beis. Amar Rav Hanan. Rav Hanan said, Lo Shanu, when did we have the law, these laws of our Mishnah, that heirs who then go and become partners are now considered partners and therefore exempt from Maaser Behima? Lo Shanu, we only learned this Ella She Chalku. In other words, they inherited both goats as well as young goats as well as older goats. And Ella She Chalku Gedayim Keneged Tiyashim, Tiyashim Keneged Gedayim, where they divided it up, where one got a goat, a kid, and in return the other one got the adult goat. So when they divide it up, when they're not each both getting goats and both getting kids, but one child is taking the kid and the other one is taking the older goat, so that means that they're really making an exchange, because in terms of inheritance they both had shares in both. The fact that when they divided it up, one only got one type and one got the other type means that there was a swap here. So now when they come and they become partners again, so that's like regular partners. Avol chalku gedayim keneged gedayim utiyashim keneged tiyashim. But if the division was that one child was getting a kid and a goat, the other child was getting a kid and a goat, then we should say like this. Omer, we should assume Zechelko Amagia Misha Rishon Lakach. This one got the share that he originally was always entitled to get, and this one got the share that he was originally always entitled to get. It was a situation of Breira. Each one, you know, it's being revealed through the division what share each one had originally inherited. When they go and they become partners, so then they're not considered partners, but rather they're considered like a restoration of the estate. And if it's a restoration of the estate, then they are obligated in Maaser Behema, because the estate is a single entity, and it's a single entity having animals, not partners having animals. So that was the view of Rav Hanan. However, Rav Nachman said, Afilu chalku gedayim keneged gedayim utiyashim keneged tiyashim, even if when they were divided, each got both kids and goats. In Omen, we don't say Zeu chelko amagir mishar rishon lakach. We don't say yesh breira. We don't say it's been retroactively revealed. This one is each one is getting the share that he rightly was deserving. But rather, we're saying they are purchasers from each other. And if they're purchasers and they later combine again, they're regular partners that are combining, and therefore there's no obligation of maaser behema. Reb Elazar Amar, Reb Elazar says, Lo Shana, we didn't learn the law of the Mishnah. Ela Shechalku. If when they divided the inheritance, there wasn't a fully equal division. They divided Tisha Keneged Asar. In other words, one got 9 and the other one got 10. So one got 9 big animals, the other one got 10 small animals. Or Asara Keneged Tisha. So then, when they're dividing up in such a way, that's certainly a purchase. That's not you know, that it's being revealed what each one's rightful share was, because rightfully they would have equal shares. This is clearly a purchase. Then when they combine again, they are partners, and they are exempt now from Maaser Behema. Mm-hmm. However, Aval, but if Chalku Tisha Keneged Tisha Vasara Keneged Asara, but if their division up of the their dividing up of the inheritance was 9 for one and 9 for the other, or 10 for one and 10 for the other, so then Omer, then I'm going to say Zechel Komagim Yishar Bishon Lekach. Each one got the share that he was originally entitled to. And then when they recombine, they've just recreated the estate. V'amar, Rabbi Yochanan disagrees. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, no. Afilu chalku tisha keneged tisha v'asara keneged asara. Even if the way they divided up the inheritance was 9 for one and 9 for the other, or 10 for one and 10 for the other, ein omer zechel kom agio mishar rishon lekach. We don't say each one is retroactively getting the rightful share when they combine, they've recreated the estate. Rather, we say it's a purchase, and when they recombine, it is partners. Says the Gemara, Va'az de Rabbi Yochanan Letzamei. Rabbi Yochanan, and what he said is being consistent. Now starting today's daf, Nun Zayin Amud Aleph. I'm Rav Asi, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Rav Asi said a lesson in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Ha'achin Shechalku. When you have a father dying and his estate now gets inherited amongst his children, Lekuchos Hain, the children who divide up the estate are really purchasers. They're really buying from each other. The amount that, you know, son A had in this property is giving over to son B in return for son B giving to son A the rights that he had in the property that goes to son A. And therefore, if they are purchasers, umachzirin zela zebiyovel, come the 50th year, everything gets returned. Because whenever you buy something in Yovel, you give back to the person you bought from. So come Yovel, it gets returned and gets redivided. That's the view of Rabbi Yochanan. So now the Gemara says, Utsrichi, I would need to tell you that Rabbi Yochanan holds that there's no such thing as Breira, it ain't Breira. And he holds that Yerusha, or the dividing up of a Yerusha, is really a purchase. I need him to tell us this both in regards to Maaser Behema and in regards to the laws of Yovel. If you would have only told it to us over here, in regards to Maaser Behema, that when heirs inherit, they are purchasers, and therefore when they recombine, they're partners. And then there's no Maaser Behema. I would have said maybe only Behakam Rabbi Yochanan. Maybe only here Rabbi Yochanan said this. Demi de Bincha. Because here there's a pasuk comparing Maaser Behema to your son. So Ma Bincha Bebarulucha. So just like a son. I might have thought that maybe the way to read the pasuk is like this. Just like a son is when it's clear, right, when he's born that he's your son. So too, when you have the law of Maaser Behema for your cattle and sheep, with animals that were born in your domain, and it was clear for when they were born that they were yours, but not things that were not initially yours and may have been your brother's and now became yours. Avol Sadzeh, but in regards to the law of Yovel and returning a field in Yovel, maybe Mechudam Rachman Eliyadu B'Yovel. Maybe Hashem only says that a sale where there's money that was given over to the seller, that's those types of fields are the ones that go back in Yovel. But Yerusha Matana, but an inheritance or a gift, lo, that doesn't go back in Yovel. V'yashmin and Sadzen, if it would have told us in regards to a field, that's where Rabbi Yochanan would say that Ein Breira, and rather Lekucho saying that Yorshim, those who inherit, are purchasers. I would say in a field, he's not sure that they're purchasers. Maybe he's just not sure. He thinks maybe they're purchasers, but maybe they're Yorshim. And therefore, in a field, he's saying L'chumra, it should be returned in Yovel. Inami, or alternatively, when Rabbi Yochanan says it should be returned in Yovel, maybe what he means is L'chathila. He's just saying that Yovel, you always have to reset the clock. So when there's Yorshim, you have to reset the clock. So you reset the clock, but maybe it goes back to being in a state. Avalacha, but in regards to Maaser Behema, Eimalah, I would say no, that maybe when heirs inherit, that means retroactively it's being revealed this was each one's rightful share. When they recombine, they're just recreating an estate. They're not becoming a partnership. And maybe there is an obligation of Maaser Behema. So So tzricha, that's why I needed to tell you in both cases.
I have a couple of questions.
One, but one second, let's just get to the mission, then we'll get to the questions. Okay, so Maestri, the Gemara says, let me challenge this, one of these ideas. Again, we have an argument here, whether when heirs inherit, the meaning of that is that it belonged to the estate, and now they're swapping, you know, I have a share in everything, he has a share in everything, we're swapping our shares to each other, it's a purchase. Or when heirs inherit, it belonged to the estate, it's now being divided between the heirs, that's revealing that really this half always belonged to this one and this half always belonged to that one. And when they recombine, they're not partners, they're just recreating an estate. Those are the two possibilities. So Meisve, they challenged the idea of Yesh Breira, we learned in a Mishnah in Tmura in regards to the concept of Mechir Kelev. Yesterday we spoke about Esnan. Esnan means the sheep given to the prostitute. Here, Kalev means a sheep that was exchanged for a dog. A sheep that was exchanged for a dog also can't be brought as a karban. So we have in a Mishnah, let's say there are partners, Shechalku, that divide up their property. Echad natal asara, one takes 10 sheep, Echad natal tisha, the other one takes 9 sheep for Kalev, plus a dog. So now, Shekineged akalev asurin, those that might have been the replacement for the dog, are prohibited because maybe they are in exchange for a dog, so they can't be used as a carbon. Shema Kalev, those that are with the guy who has the dog, those are mutaran, those can be used as a carbon. Now, Vimamat Yesh Breira, if you're going to tell me that when there's a division, it's retroactively revealing who gets which one. So we should say, Liver Chaminai Lubahade Kalev. Let him now do Breira. Let him take one sheep and say, this sheep was the one for the dog. And that's the one that's no good. Velishko, and take it. Take it out from being a carbon. Vahanach, and the other 9. Lishteru should be allowed to be used as a carbon. So Amar Ravashi, Ravashi answered, Yidishavakulu adadi achinami. If all the sheep, the 10 sheep, that go to the other partner are equal to each other, you're right. Achab mayaskinan. But here, what's the case in this Mishnah Tvura? So lo shavakulu la'adadi, those 10 sheep are not all equal. The shavi hai kalba chadu mashu. So this dog is equal in value to one and a little bit more. So since he's equal in value to one and a little bit more, so therefore what are you going to do? You're going to say, oh, we're going to take one sheep and say, this sheep, revealing now retroactively, is the one for the dog. Okay, but that's not enough, because the dog is also worth something, some more. So he has to have a share in some other sheep. So therefore, by mashu, because there's another mashu, mashuk vasu bikulu, that must be, we don't know where it is, it could be in any of those other sheep, that prohibits all of those other 9 sheep, and maybe there is a concept of breira, but even with breira, you wouldn't be able to permit the other sheep. Okay, so that completes the Gemara. Now let's get to some questions.
Rabbi, why are we talking about the heirs paying Mazza Behemer? Is that because the father didn't do it? Or is this like an inheritance?
No, it's an inheritance. It's an inheritance, and now over the next year.
Oh, so it's double tax, like we have here. It's a double taxation. The father did.
The father may have not done it. Maybe he didn't do it.
Oh, but that's my question.
Or it's over time. There are new ones that are born.
Yeah, newborns.
Newborns.
Okay, but newborn, the father should do it right away, right?
And he's not alive. He's not alive. He dies.
After they die, they brought
his children.
But after he dies, the inheritance passes, right?
But they have to divide up who gets what.
So, but are we talking about newborns? Or are we talking about the
newborns? We're talking about newborns.
Oh, only newborns. So it's not a double taxation, inheritance tax.
Not necessarily, no.
Well,
no, there's no double taxation.
Okay,
it doesn't pay twice.
So the father did a Masa Behemoth on one age group of
animals.
That's
done.
That's
done.
What happens when the father dies and there are 2 goats?
Okay.
And 2 boys, 2 sons.
Okay.
How do they divide this?
Because one's a Bechor, you mean?
Yeah.
You have to look at all the other property also.
I mean, that's all he got, 2 goats.
To figure out the value, one would get 1 plus in a share.
You know, they have to sell the goats and buy the money to do 1 or something like that.
Well, the guy gets the father's hat.
What if one of the goats is older and one's younger? So then you give the Bechor the older one?
The
Just a question.
During the Jubilee time, you know, the ownership probably changed hand 5 times, 7 times, you know.
Goes back to the original owner.
So they have to go back and find out who, how what happened if the guy is dead already?
His children. His children, his closest relatives, those who would inherit him.
At the end of the day, everything goes back to the head of the tribe, it looks like.
Rabbi. Head of the tribe? No, it goes back to the original owners.
The owner was really was the
not the head goes
the head
to
of tribes.
No the family in that tribe
of that tribe.
You search now to do ownership search and to find out
title search.
Oh.
Title, it's a good business, right? Go into the title industry. All right, next Mishnah. So this is points that Baruch brought up yesterday. Thank you, Baruch, for intuiting these ideas. Hakol nichnasin ledir le'asaser, all would be put into a pen to be counted out, that the tenth becomes maaser behema. Chutz min kilayim, except for an animal that's a crossbreed, let's say an animal that's a mutton of a sheep, goat together, or a trefa. Trefa doesn't have maaser behema. Another animal that doesn't have maaser behema is yotzei dofen, an animal that wasn't born normally, was born through a C-section. Mechusar zman, an animal that's not yet 8 days old. Hayatom, or an animal whose mother is dead. Ezeo yatom. What is the definition of an orphan? Kol shemesa imo, if the mother died. O shenishchatov, the mother was slaughtered. Yachakach yolda. And after it was slaughtered, the baby came out. Rabbi Yeshua says, no, afilu nishchata imo, even if the mother was slaughtered, vashelach kayim. But what's still around is the skin of the mother. Ein ze yasom, that's not considered an orphan. That's still considered a child that has a mother, because the skin of the mother is here to still help the child, and then it would be obligated in maaser behema. Okay, says the Gemara, not immediately. We know these laws, that all these things are exempt from maaser behema. The pasuk says in regards to karbanos, shor o kesef. Prat l'kilayim. So that excludes, right? It says an ox or a sheep, not something which is a mixture. O'ez, and it says or a goat. Prat l'nidma. That's to exclude an animal that's born that doesn't look like its mother, doesn't look like the right type. Ki v'oled, when it will be born. Prat l'yotzei dofen, to exclude that which isn't born but was taken out in an operation through a C-section. Then it says v'yashir v'as yamim, it'll be for 7 days. Tachasimo, prat l'mechusar zman. That means if it's not yet 7 days old, it doesn't become a korban. Then it says tachasimo, under its mother, prat liyasam, that's to exclude an orphan that doesn't have a mother. Rabbi Yishmael ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan Broken Omer, Rabbi Yishmael, the son of Rabbi Yochanan Broka, adds, Ne'amar Khan, it says in regards to maser behema, kol asher yavor tachas hashavet, whatever will pass underneath the rod. V'ne'amar lahalan, it said in that pasuk about karbanos, tachasimo, under its mother. So there's a gzera shava, tachas, tachas. So malahalim. So just like in regards to karbanos, prat l'kol hashem osalalu, we excluded kilayim, and we excluded nidmen, we excluded yotzei dofen, and we excluded yasom. So afkan. So to over here, since we have a gzera shav of tachas tachas, prat l'kol hashem osalalu, we exclude all of these from maser behema. Then umakan prat l'treifa. Here it says yavor tachas hashav. It has to pass underneath the rod. That means it has to walk. As Baruch pointed out yesterday, if it's missing a leg, it can't walk. So it's excluding certain trefas. So just like here, it's excluding trefa, flahalan. Since there's tachas, tachas, also in all karbanos, prat l'trefa, if an animal's a trefa, it can't be a karban. All right, says the Gemara, let's go back to the beginning of the Mishnah. Hakol nichnasim l'dir l'isaser. All are brought into the pen to become maser behema. Hakol l'isuyei mai. What is that phrase? Hakol, all, including. Answers the Gemara, Liyisuyi Hadatan Rabbanan, to include what we learned in a Braisa, though. Haroveya, an animal that has practices bestiality with a human being. Vanirva, a female animal that a human being did bestiality with it. Hamukta, an animal that was dedicated to be an offering of Avodah Zarah. Hanevad, an animal that was actually worshipped as Avodah Zarah. Ha'esnan, an animal that was given to a Gentile prostitute, as we learned yesterday, as payment. Hamachir, an animal that was exchanged for a dog. Tumtum, an animal that its organs are covered. Androgyn is an animal that has both male and female organs. Kula nichnasin ledir l'isaser. All of them are obligated in maaser behema. They're brought into the pen and they become one of the ten for the maaser behema. They are nichnasin. Kula nichnasin. All of these are nichnasin. Yes.
Even the cesarean one?
No, the cesarean not. But these, yes. Rovei, anir, v'amukta, nevad, esnan, mechir, tumtum, and androgynos. Rav Shimon Yehuda, Mishim Rabbi Shimon, Rav Shimon Yehuda says the name Rabbi Shimon, that tumtum and androgynos, ein nechnasim ledir lis aser. Tumtum and androgynos, they do not get, they're not obligated to maser behema, they don't enter into the pen to become maser behema. V'tana didan. So now the Gemara says, let's try to understand this. What's going on here? V'tana didan. The Tana of our Mishnah was saying hakol to include all these things. I don't understand. Igamar tachas tachas, mikachim. If he has the gzera shav of tachas tachas, that maser behema applies to that which can be a karban. Hani nami lo. So all these things can't be karbanos. They shouldn't be able to be maser behema. V'ilo yalif. So if he doesn't learn tachas tachas, so if so, hani minale. So then all the other things, right? All the other things in the Mishnah, how does he know that they're exempt from maser behema? They should be obligated to maser behema. The things of the Mishnah, namely treifa, kilayim, mechus shizman, they should also have to have maser behema. The same way you're saying rovei and nirva have maser behema. So the answer is lo'olam gamir. The Tanavar Mishnah does learn tachas tachas. Vahani, but the reason why the Brisa said that, the reason, and he agrees to that because he says hakol, that he says some of these things, rovei, anir, vatumtum, androgynous, they do have maser behema. There's a special pasuk, vahani rachmana rabinu. Here, these things were included in a different pasuk. You'll see, because the pasuk says, in regards to a karban, that if a convert would like to bring a baal mum as a karban, we don't accept it. Because the verse says, ki mashchasam bahem mumbam. For there's a blemish in them, lo yeratzu lachem, they won't be accepted. B'tana d'ber b'yishmal, and we learned in a braisa from the yeshiva of Rabbi Yishmal, kamakum shenamer bo hashchasa. If the Torah uses the term hashchasa, hashchasa means eino elo dvar erva v'avodazara. That refers to immorality and idolatry. Dvar erva, we know it refers to immorality. The sliv, as it says, ki yishchiz kol basaras darko ala aretz. Now, why was there a flood? Because people had corrupted their way on earth. Corruption meaning immorality. Avodah zara, idolatry, d'chsev, because it says pentash chisun, lest you be corrupting. V'asisim lachem pesan, you're going to make an idol. T'munas kol samel, any type of a picture. Tavnis sachar o nekeva, an image of a male or a female. And therefore, since this pasuk, which is talking about baal mum, also talks about hashchasa, we have a rule, kol shamum posil bo, those karbanos that would be disqualified if they are blemished. Then dvar erva avodah zara poslin bo. Then if it has a matter of erva, let's say rovei or nirva, or avodah zara, muktzah or nevad, dedicated for idolatry or actually worshipped, they also become disqualified. V'chol shein amum posil bo, but those things that don't have mum. Ein dvar erva avodah zara poslin bo. V'hai meiser, minute now in regards to meiser behema, the pasuk says in regards to maser behema, he should not distinguish between the bad and the good. Now, it's even a bad animal, even a blemished animal, has maser behema. So once we know that maser behema has applies to a baal mum, therefore, since baal mum is linked in the pasuk to animals that have a disqualification of immorality or idolatry, an animal that has a disqualification of immorality or idolatry also has an obligation of maser behema. Therefore, dvar erva v'avodah zara nami lo pasul be. Therefore, rovei v'nirva, an animal that practiced bestiality, dvar erva, that's a disqualification based on immorality. Muktze, if it was dedicated to be used as avodah zara, to be offered to avodah zara, or nevad, if it was actually worshipped, avodah zara, that's avodah zara. Now, esnan, an animal that was exchanged or given to a prostitute for their services, dvar erva, that's immorality. Mechir, an animal exchanged for a dog, we know is kashla. Esnan is compared to esnan. So that's how we know that all these animals are obligated in maser behema. Now, what about tumtum and androgynous? Kasavar, both the town of our Mishnah and this braisa hold that it's a sveikahu. The tumtum and androgynous is a suffix. Maybe it's a male, maybe it's a female. So therefore, it has to have maser behema, because males need maser behema and females need maser behema. You don't know what this one is. But whatever it is, it's going to need maser behema. That's why it's obligated to maser behema. Then we had Reb Shimon Yehuda. He says, he disagrees. Rav Shimon Yehuda said in the Braisa, Tumdin Androgynous don't have Maaser Behema. Because Kasavar he holds. And here they changed the Girsa. Kasavar he holds. Lav Sveikahu. Tumdin Androgynous is not a Safek of maybe a male, maybe a female. It's some other creature. It's like a third type. Therefore, it's not included. It is included. It's not included in Maaser Behema because Maaser Behema applies to males and to females, but not to something which is a third type. Because how do we know not Maaser Behema? Because Miat Rachman, Hashem has excluded this third type, Kabe Kachin, in regards to Karbanos, where Hashem said Zachar, males, Vadai, Nekeva Vadois, a female which is certainly below Tumtum Vadjoganus, but not a Tumtum Vadjoganus, and Maaser Nami in regards to Maaser Behema, Gamar Tachas Tachas. Mikachim, he derives Xera Shava, that whatever is good for a carbon is good for Maaser Behema. What can't be used as a carbon can't be used as Maaser Behema.
So when the animals are in the pen, they inspect them, make sure
yes.
they're okay, right? Inspection first.
But they could be blemished.
They do the Maaser Behema,
but
right?
They could be blemished. Blemished we know certainly is okay. Everybody agrees to that, because Pein Tov L'Ra Lo Yivaker. Other things maybe not. Tanya Rabbanu Din Abraisa. Hakol Nichnasim L'Dir L'Asaser, all the animals are brought into the pen to become Maaser. Except for an animal that's kilayim or an animal that's a trefa, according to Rebbe Elazar ben Yehuda, ish kfar bar tuta, sham shum yo b'shua. That's what he's the name of Rebbe Yeshua. I'm Rebbe Akiva. Rebbe Akiva said, Ani shamati imenu, I heard from him, af yotzei dofen u mechusar zman, that an animal that was born through a C-section, or an animal that's only 7 days old, or an animal that's a yasom, also is exempt from Maaser Behema. Now, this price, let's try to understand these views. Tanakama, the Tanakama, he gomer tachas tachas mi kachim, if he learns xera shava tachas tachas from kachim, sahani namilos, he should also be excluding a C-section, he should also be excluding a 7-day-old animal. The low gomer, if he doesn't learn anything from kachim, so bishlama treif, okay, treif, I understand why it's excluded from Maaser Behema, because as Baruch pointed out, the verse says, kol asher yavar tachas hashavet ksiv. All that which will pass underneath the staff, prat the trefa, to exclude a trefa, sheino veris, it doesn't pass because it can't walk. Ela kilayim in ali, but how will he know to exclude a crossbreed from Maaser Behema? So lo olam, you have to say even the Tanakama gamar, even the Tanakama holds that you've learned from kachim to Maaser Behema. I said, why does he say that a C-section does have Maaser Behema? In regards to a C-section, now turning to Nzainamid Beis, Savala Kribi Shimon, Yozak Kribi Shimon, who holds, and in regards to all laws, Yotzei Dofen is called a Vlad. It's called a regular birth. Let's say a woman has a C-section, she'd have the same Tumas Leda as a regular natural birth. Vlad Ma'al Yehu. Now, Udaloka Rabbi Yochanan, and he doesn't agree with Rabbi Yochanan, who said that according to Rabbi Shimon, Yotzei Dofen is not considered a regular birth. In terms of a 7-day-old animal, Savalak Rabbi Shimon Yehuda, Hozak Rabbi Shimon Yehuda, Hozak Rabbi Shimon Yehuda, is obligated to Maaser Behema. And Yasom, in regards to orphan, the reason why he says an orphan can also go into the pen, let's talk about a case, Gagon Shashalach Kayim, when the skin is still around of the mother. And Rabbi Yeshua Latame is Rabbi Yeshua consistent to his opinion. The Amaru says, even if you slaughter the mother, but if the skin is still around, it's not considered an orphan, and therefore it's still obligated.
What is the minimum age, Rabbi?
8 days. So all carbonos.
8 days. 7 days no good, 8 is okay.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Hey, Rabbi Shmuel ben Satriel, Me'arkas Levena. Rabbi Shmuel ben Satriel testified, he was from this place, Arkas Levena, Lifnei Rabbi, in front of Rabbi. He said like this, Bimkomeinu mafshitin es hamesa, in our place, when a mother dies, we skin the mother animal, u'malbishin es hachaya, and we put the skin on top of the baby, and it helps it grow. Rabbi said, Niskala Taima Shel Mishna Senu. Now you just explained to me the reasoning of Rabbi Yeshua. Why does Rabbi Yeshua say that the child's not an orphan if the skin is around? Because the skin is put on top of the child, and the skin is still helping the child. So the mother, some remnant of the mother, is still helping the child. So that's not called an orphan. All right, another thing from Rabbi Yeshua ben Satriel. Chazirin. You know, this is lettuce. that's in our place. Yesh lam shishim ribu klafim. They have 600,000 peels. The vase hamsa shalom. Like the meat in the omasum of an animal that has lots of peels. All right, another thing Rabbi Shmuel ben Satriel said, Pa'am achas nafal erez echabim komenu. One time a cedar fell in our place. You know how wide it was? Avru shesh esrei kronos al chudo achas. 16 carriages could ride on one side of it. You know, it was so wide. You can get 16 carriages on this cedar. Another law that he said, Pa'am achas nafal beitzas bar yuchni. Bar yuchni is a huge bird. One time the egg of the bar yuchni fell, the tibba shisha krachim. Shishim krachim, and it drowned 60 cities. The shibra shlosh meos harazim, and this egg broke 300 cedars. So the Gemara says, one second, but a very big egg. So the Gemara asks, but how could this bird do that? You have a picture of this bird, bird egg?
Yeah, yeah. That's the little egg next to it. I mean, a regular egg. This is comparison.
I guess, wow, it's a big egg. So now the Gemara asks, "Umishadilu, but does the bird throw down the eggs?" But the verse says about this bird, "Knafin anim ne'elasa." How do we read that? Ne'elasa means no se'ofes peitzaso olulamala v'neschate morido benachas pekino. That the bird takes this egg and softly, gently places it down. So Rav Ashi explains how that egg that dropped and destroyed all these cities and cedar trees, Muzar Tahava, was a ruined egg. And since it was a ruined egg, it wasn't going to become a chick, the bird just dropped it down and it caused all of this damage. Okay, we'll start with the Mishnah, Bezat Hashem, tomorrow.